And in this edition of St. Teresa's on the Air, we've given our new parochial vicar a couple of weeks to get used to things, and now we've brought him across the street into the studios of WTOA to talk to us and to welcome Father Freddie Angel to Albany, and welcome to St. Teresa's.
Thank you, Steve. Very happy to be here in St. Teresa's.
Yeah, very happy to have you. I know Father Ray, of course, is especially to have you happy to have you, because it means he doesn't have to do everything by himself, right?
Yes, plus he's a great friend and one of my good friends.
Yeah, I understand. He said that you two became priests on the same day. Is that right?
Yes, we were ordained five. That was one of the biggest number ordained in many years. Well, actually, Chidi Osondo, he passed away already. We are four now. But we were ordained on June 4, 2005.
Yeah. And you were first because you had an A last name, right?
Yes. And also that gave me this the senior ordination. That means Father Ray has to respect my seniority there. Well, I respect him because he is the pastor here.
but you've been a priest for what, 5 minutes longer?
5 minutes or 3 minutes longer. That's enough.
Oh, that's awesome. I have to ask, just because it's such a coincidence. Your last name is Angel.
Yes.
What an appropriate name for somebody who's becomes a priest.
Well, like I said in all the masses, what I was a Father Angel with broken wings and broken hello, but an angel. I'm trying as hard as I can.
Well, so far you've been wonderful. So that's
good.
I don't think the wings are too broken. You're doing fine. So let's talk a little bit. Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Take us back to pre-fatherhood. Where do you come from? Where were you born? And tell us a little bit about your pre-priest years.
Okay. Well, I'm from Colombia. I was born in Soata, Boyacá. It's the in the mountains, the east central part of Colombia. Very small town, beautiful in the mountains, and I spent all my childhood there. Actually, my vocation grew there with these Sisters of the Presentation. Mm-hmm. That also is big part of my vocation, the whole family. But I'm from there. When I was 11, we moved to Bogota, that is the capital. That one wants us to give us a better education, and he put us in technical high school. I was with the Salesians, and I finished my high school with the Salesians in 1992. And immediately I joined in the Salesians in 1993 to 2001 that I decided to come to the U.S. Two priests went there from the Diocese of Savannah. I know many people know them. Father Brett Brannan was the vocation director in that moment, and Monsignor Lawrence Lucri. Mm-hmm. And they were recruiting men for the diocese, and I was one. Yeah, the only one that they brought that year. I remember the interview when they, and in that moment I didn't speak a word of English. Nothing, was a translator there. And they asked me that if I wanted to come to the U.S., in that moment I didn't. Truly, that was a setup from priest friends that put my name there. I didn't know I was going to do the interview. They invite me for the dinner, and I hear my name, Freddie Angel. They just laugh, and they say, go, take the interview. And I went and take the interview, and at the end, Monsignor Lucri, I remember he said, you are the one we need. And a year later, I asked him why they chose me. I thought always that was maybe because I was good and smart and everything. But he said, no, we chose you because you have all the education. I was with the Salesians for 11 years. You have philosophy, you have part of the theology, and will be an easy priest to get in a few years and cheap.
They don't have to put you through school, in other
words,
right?
No, yeah. I was just 3 years after I came here. I was at least 9 months learning English. That was a quick ESL program. Mm-hmm. I took in Mercer University at 3 months and 6 months in Auburn University in Alabama. And after that, they sent me to St. Vincent for 3 years. And I was ordained in 2005, again, with Father Ray.
Yeah. So you're, I guess, the path to priesthood was one that you sort of knew you were going to be on early on in life.
Yeah. I mean, in my heart, I knew since a child, but definitely was in my last year of high school. I was working in the periphery of Bogota, outside, with the poor people, very poor children, helping programs for learning experiences, and also we're giving catechesis in the mass, and that really got into my mind and my heart, and I say, I want to do this, yeah, because I was doing that with the priests, with the Salesians there.
So if you had not been a priest, if that had not been your calling, what do you imagine you might have done?
Well, actually, I like it. The School of Medicine, I did my test for the School of Medicine in Colombia, and I applied for many of the colleges there for medicine. I did that at the end just to please my father and my mother, too. But I wanted, if the priesthood didn't present the opportunity, I guess I will be in the medicine. But when I was discerning, I thought that God comes first. And I say, I have to do this first. Otherwise, I may not be as happy. And I have to try and see what is this life of consecrated life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 2005, you're ordained, and you were here in the Diocese of Savannah at that
yes,
time.
Yes, I was ordained for the Diocese of Savannah.
And so where have you been for the last 15 years?
Not too many places. I was ordained, and Bishop Boland sent me to Sacred Heart in Warner Robins. I was there for 2 years, 2005 to 2007. And in July 1st, 2007, I arrived to Queen of Peace and the missions here in Adel, Nashville, in Lakeland. In that moment, we have also the mission of San Jose in Lipar. It was four churches. It was a hard years, first years, maybe 3-4 years, because it was about 8 masses during the weekend. It was a lot of work.
And you did 8 masses a weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
And I was driving almost 250 miles every weekend, going around. It was a lot. But in 2011, with Bishop Gregory Hartmeyer, the idea was already there, put into people to unify the churches and the missions, all the mission. It was too many little churches and a lot of work and all these resources, human resources, economic resources, they were not really available. We tried to make the church's beauty and cute, but we need something else. And we decided to unify the churches. And Bishop Gregory Hartmeyer, now Archbishop of Atlanta, he said yes, and we began the process. It was a very hard process to go, because you know, when people get attached to their churches, even if they are small, and it is a lot of investment there, not just economically but emotionally. It's a lot of memories. Some people, they were baptized there, their children were baptized there, they were married. It is a lot of history there for them, and they were somehow upset. But after we finished the construction, we saw the glorious moments. All the sacrifice, all the suffering, the anger too, it came to good, for good.
Okay, good. And so how did you end up coming to Albany?
How I ended? I was assigned to Sacred Heart, back to Sacred Heart, as a pastor of Sacred Heart in 2009. 19. That was last year. I lost the time. I asked 1 year of leave of absence because mom was diagnosed with stomach cancer.
Oh, my.
And, I went there to take care of mom. During mom having dealing with cancer, dad has a heart attack too. And both are living and now, and they are doing much better. But it was a very hard year. And after I finished there, Bishop asked me if I want to take some time. It's also easy. And I say yes. He say, how about with your friend Ray in St. Teresa? That sounds wonderful.
So this is considered an easy assignment.
It's supposed to be easy for me this year. Yes.
I'm going to ask Father Ray about that. I think there's a lot of work for an easy assignment.
Well, normally the pastor does the hard work. That always has been. I had been a pastor. I was a pastor for 12 years, and it is a lot of work. I respect the work of the pastor. I respect the work that Father Ray does. It's not an easy work. It is to deal with all the administration and with all the problems. It is a heavy burden. Absolutely. And I'm resting now, really, truly, because he's the one who has. I try to help the masters I can, but normally the pastor is the one who has to face all the problems.
So you're here. You've been here for just a few weeks. Got here at the beginning of July.
Yes.
What do you think of Albany? Were you familiar with Albany before? Coming here to be here. I mean, obviously you visited. I know.
Yes. Yeah. I have been here for the confessions and every year for Lent and Advent. Always come to help Father Ray. And I like the parish. It has a lot of history. I guess the people is very friendly and hospitable. But it has been good for me. How good will continue.
Have you had a chance to get out in the city and, you know, I mean, it's, I guess before we answer that question, how difficult is it to relocate yourself in the midst of a pandemic, when nothing is open and nothing is the way it's supposed to be? What was that like?
Well, after coming from Colombia and being there too, in a year of leave of absence, have been okay. Not too much of surprise, because I was just taking care of my parents, do the mass at home with them. But it's totally different coming here and see that, for example, wearing the mask, trying to sanitize your hands, and it is a lot of thinking too, and has been somehow shocking for me to come, and it's different world totally.
Yeah, the mask itself, you know. Now, of course, after not having it available to us for. What was it? 2 months.
2 months. 2 months. Yeah. 2 months.
And then coming back, it's very it's very different. It feels very different.
It is.
Of course, I mean, everything from only being able to receive the bread instead of the bread and wine, to the, you know, not singing everything, not having a choir, not having an offertory procession, not having the ushers with the collection baskets. It's like a whole different dynamic.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the most difficult things for me has been not to be able to greet the people properly. I'm a hugger, I'm a shaking hands, but that has been one of the most difficult for me, not to be able to greet the people with a handshake or a hug.
Well, you know, under normal circumstances, we would have already had your welcome party at some point, and probably a lot of food and merriment, and you would get to hug everybody to death there. But I mean, this is it. You get the welcome radio show. There's no, because they won't let you congregate, you know, then they don't want you within 6 feet of people. It's very strange. because the church is supposed to be, you know, loving and welcome, and we're basically saying, stay away, stay away.
Yes, yeah. And but it's surprised also how many people have come to the Mass. I guess it's a good fear that maybe we have to begin to tell people, I say, you know, some of you need to be stay home, because it's already coming to many, many people. And what I hear from the other parishes is here in St. Teresa, and in the other parishes, it's not many. I see in all the masses coming more and more people, and I guess that's a good problem to have right now.
Oh yeah, if we're going to call it a problem, it is definitely a good problem to have.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we might get put to the point where we have to, you know, add on another Mass again, like we started when we reopened after the shutdown. That would be nice. Obviously, you are a bilingual priest. We know you speak English and Spanish. Do you speak, yes, other languages too?
I understand Portuguese, and I speak a little bit of Italian, but that's it. No, not. I don't want to learn another language. English has been really hard already.
You speak English very well. I mean, I was surprised you said you didn't. You didn't learn English until
I came here.
Yeah, to the U.S.
Not
a word.
No, I failed all the classes in Colombia, English classes. I never thought I have to learn English. Actually, I love Italian. I thought I was going to learn very well Italian or French. But no, ending with English, that I didn't like it at that moment. But, you know, sometimes I see that the hand of God, the God's will, I never dream. I know it's the dream of many people, the American dream. It wasn't my dream. It was my brother's dream. And he's now in Canada. But it never passed in my mind to come or be here in U.S. But I'm glad. I'm glad now. It changed my life. My vocation, my everything. I'm really surprised with how God works in His own way.
Mm-hmm. So, having done masses, the English masses, the bilingual masses, the Spanish masses, what do you notice is do you notice a difference in the dynamic of the people? I guess the question I'm trying to get to is, you know, do people react differently? Different cultures react differently to what's going on in the Mass, like more emotionally or more intense, or what do you see?
Well, I guess the Latinos, we always are more emotional and passionate with things or answer it. Actually, but no, normally it's the same answer from people, and I guess that has to be with the Word of God. Always we act, we surprise, we get a lot of emotions when God is talking to us in His Word with the homilies, but surely with the Hispanic, it's more like passionate, and we always get more noise and more talking, like in the parish that I have been. With the English-speaking communities, we have to put donuts and coffee to get them to get together and stay a little bit with the Hispanic. No, we don't put anything. We have to tell them, go, out. It's well, coming the next Mass.
Yeah, they want to be here. That's,
yes, they
that's
want to socialize a lot. But just with reactions, with everything, and the homilies or with the sacraments, it's, I guess for me, has been more standard. Yes, it's the reaction that always we get. I think the reaction we give to God.
So now that you're here, I know there's no way of telling how long you'll be here. You know, it's always up in the air how long a person is in one place to another. But what would your goals be, or what do you hope to accomplish while you are here?
Well, first, I'm here to serve the people of God, trying to do the best we can in this middle of the pandemic. Also to help here in St. Teresa, to help Father Ray in his pastoral work. And whatever I can do, I would be happy to do it.
Do you have a dream assignment? Like, do you want to be the bishop one day, or you want to go retire in Savannah, or what do you want to do?
No.
No?
No, never has been my dream. My dream is to be in a rural parish.
Really?
Yes. I don't know. I'm many would say, really? Yeah. But no. I'm very happy to serve small communities. I don't know. I feel more personal touch. It's easy to know the people. Feel more family set up. And I guess in the big parishes, I was in Sacred Heart for 2 years. Also, you begin to learn, but it's a bigger setup, and it didn't feel the same like I did in the little missions in here. And St. Teresa is not a big parish, but also it's not a small. That will be my first experience here. Maybe here is the balance.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Let's see what will happen in the future.
Okay, now I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh.
I know that that might throw you for a minute. We have roughly 3 or 4 minutes left for time here. And I am absolutely non-conversant in Spanish. I took 2 years of high school Spanish and a couple of courses of Spanish in high school, I mean in college. And, you know, the funny thing is other than things like Buenos Dias and so on, the things that I remember are the dialogues that we had to speak. ¿Está Susana en casa? Sí, está con una amiga. ¿Dónde está? ¿En la sala? No, en la casina. It's like, I will never use this dialogue in my life. I don't know that Suzanne is in the living room or the kitchen or wherever she is. I will never need this. Now, if you tell me, where is the bathroom? This is something I might need to know. So I cannot converse with you in Spanish, but I wonder if you could take the 3 minutes or so that we have left to maybe speak, greet, recap, and say hello to any Spanish-speaking listeners that might be with us on the show.
Claro que sí. Bueno, soy el padre Freddy Ángel, soy colombiano, ya llevo más de 20 años aquí en los Estados Unidos y ahora estamos aquí en Santa Teresa con la misa en español los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Es bilingüe, más centrada en español, pero estamos aquí para servirlos, para traer la palabra de Dios. Y si no nos pueden venir a ver, a asistir a la misa, escúchenla en la radio. Es importante siempre estar en contacto con Dios. Si desean hablar conmigo, eso, por favor, llame a la oficina y con mucho gusto, si estamos disponibles, los atendemos.
That was awesome. It sounded good, whatever you said.
I was just greeting and the people, telling them that we are here in St. Teresa doing Spanish Mass, bilingual, more center in Spanish, every Sunday at 10 a.m. And if they want to come and talk to me, just call the office. And also I told them that it is important to continue in contact with God, to come to Mass or to watch the Mass in TV, but to keep contact in prayer.
Wonderful. Well, Father Angel, we made it. You got through the entire thing without a problem.
Yeah, well, we're shaking legs and sweating, but I made it. Thank you, Steve.
You made it. Thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to your ministry here in Albany.
Blessings.